This is an address entitled, Healing is in Individual Consciousness, by William D. Kilpatrick, a teacher of Christian Science. This is his association address of 1941. Men had gotten so far away from God and the spiritual teachings of the Bible that there was little in experience that bore the stamp of purity and holiness. And when there was left little in human consciousness of the divine to stay the baser passions of men, evil had no alternative but to turn upon and rend itself. This has been ever the case in the struggle of mankind to rise to greater and purer heights in its endeavor to escape from the bondage of materiality. Throughout the ages, the advance of mankind has been accomplished through a long and tedious series of advancements and retrogressions. Spiritual vision has raised the race gradually from the lowest type of human existence upward toward the high goal of holiness. But this has been accomplished only through footsteps and through the lessons gained from bitter experience. At first, the faint gleams of spiritual existence found men at about the lowest ebb of materialism. Through the spiritual enlightenment, which has been coming to them gradually down through the ages, men have been emerging steadily, although slowly, out of their cocoon of materialism. This advancement has come to them in proportion to the measure of true thought which they have admitted into consciousness. There have been periods of spiritual growth which have lifted thought somewhat out of its materiality. The growth has brought with it a sense of material freedom and prosperity which men have allowed themselves to believe were the accomplishments of their own material efforts. And in time, they have lost sight of the spiritual and have dropped back into their material ways until they have been confronted with the fruits of their own backsliding. They have had to encounter war, calamity, plagues, and disaster until their lesson had been learned, and they were ready again to resume their pathway heavenward with the help and guidance of God gained through repentance, purification, humility, and spiritual allegiance. On the occasion of each one of these experiences of retrogression and reform, men have gone a little higher in the scale of spirit. They have advanced and dropped back, advanced and dropped back again, but each advancement has taken them a little higher than the previous one because of the higher lessons which have been learned. Now, the race has arrived at its present stage of advancement, and now comes another period of human retrogression through which lessons must be learned and thought purged and purified. In Science and Health, Mrs. Eddy says, quote, "All that is material is a material human mortal thought always governing itself erroneously." Close quote. And in the same book, she says, quote, "Matter is neither self-existent nor a product of spirit. An image of mortal thought reflected on the retina is all that the eye beholds." Close quote. And again she says, quote, "Bones have only the substance of thought which forms them." Close quote. And in Science and Health we find this statement, quote, "Mortal mind sees what it believes as certainly as it believes what it sees. It feels, hears, and sees its own thoughts. Close quote. Thus we find that our world exists in our own consciousness and is an object of our own individual creating. This brings out, as we have so often shown before, the complete individuality of existence. The concepts or objects of mortal mind are individual, and the only place healing can be accomplished, either for ourselves or for others, is in our individual consciousness. Inasmuch as the material world is a concept in individual consciousness, our work in Christian Science for the world and for humanity lies only in individual consciousness. You and I are not confronted with a world outside ourselves which needs to be healed. We are confronted with an individual concept of world which needs to be healed. And therefore, our work for the healing of the world lies in our own thinking. There is no Russia, Germany, Great Britain, or United States anywhere but in individual thought. And as individual thought is purified, our individual world becomes purified. And this individual purification is what will bring a better world to all of us. You may recall the question and answer in Miscellaneous Writings, where we read this, quote, "In your book Science and Health, page 181, you say, 'Every sin is the author of itself, and every invalid the cause of his own sufferings.' On page 182, you say, 'Sickness is a growth of illusion, springing from a seed of thought, either your own thought or another's.' Will you please explain this seeming contradiction?" Close quote. In answer to the above, Mrs. Eddy gives us the following, quote, "No person can accept another's belief except it be with the consent of his own belief. If the error which knocks at the door of your own thought originated in another's mind, you are a free moral agent to reject or to accept this error. Hence, you are the arbiter of your own fate, and sin is the author of sin. In the words of our Master, you are a liar, and the father of it, the lie." Close quote. From this, we see that we do not have to accept into our world what others accept into their world, even though it might come in the form of universal belief. And thus we see how individual our world is, as well as our salvation from the world's claims of evil and materiality. So you and I can proceed right here and now to heal ourselves of the belief that evil has any power, source, channel, or propulsion. In fact, we have got to recognize that error is neither person, place, nor thing, as Mrs. Eddy tells us. And in this way, we deprive the claims of error of a channel through which to operate, because the only channel error has is what you and I give it in thought. We have got to handle this world situation in an entirely impersonal manner, and realize that the claim is no more real, personal, or powerful than a claim of smallpox or poverty. We cannot impersonalize evil by consciously giving it a personality to work through and then by hating that personality. If a patient with sickness comes to you for help, you could not heal that patient by hating him. You would have to love him before you could heal him. In Science and Health, Mrs. Eddy writes, in speaking of the healing of the sick, quote, "If the scientist reaches his patient through divine love, the healing work will be accomplished at one visit, and the disease will vanish into its native nothingness like dew before the morning sunshine." Close quote. And so it is with our work in connection with the world problem. We must free our thought of all sense of hate, resentment, and fear before we can hope to approach with any degree of success the problems which now confront us. The whole present-day situation throughout the world is a chemicalization of what might be termed universal consciousness, and some individuals have allowed themselves to become mesmerized to the point where they have let the error in. It is a universal claim and must be handled as such. And inasmuch as you and I, as Christian Scientists, see it for what it is, and are the only ones in the whole world who understand and can apply the remedy, it is up to you and me to get busy and daily work on these problems, which are of so vital importance, not only to us, but to every human being.